If you got a bulletin, I want to encourage you to look at the handout. You'll see one for Project Hope, which is our relationship that we have in Ethiopia. And then here is the message today. Our family spent 5 weeks in Ethiopia serving, and it was something that was on our heart. But it was also something we said, Lord, while we're there, do something new in us and give us a word that we can share with those we come back to. Some of you, it's your first time here this morning. I always think when God puts you in a new place, he gets to speak something new to you. So I just pray that you'll hear from him, even though there's different circumstances, probably not the same atmosphere you're used to. And our family just discovered such a joy. And so I want to take a moment to share that with you today. It's so great to see everybody from weddings and from youth group. Aaron, great to see you and your husband. And their birthdays in the crowd. And it's just so great to see everybody. And there's such a joy when we enter into God's purposes and his plan. And you'll see this scripture, Matthew 13. It's not in your notes, or maybe it's at the back. But it says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure. And what's the next word? It's hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then, in his joy, he goes and sells, he gives all that he has and buys and owns that field. Jesus is saying that the kingdom of God is in the middle of our everyday lives, and yet it can be hidden from us. There's a joy that this world can never know. You'll never find it by following the world's path. It's a joy and it's hidden. The person who would see this man selling everything to buy a plot of land would be thinking this person's crazy. But what the person viewing it from the outside doesn't see is there is a treasure that this guy who's sacrificing and giving his life for, he knows it's there. And in this world, there's so much talk about where joy and happiness and fulfillment come from. And yet Jesus said, no, you know, in the kingdom of heaven, the very joy, the very gift of heaven can be right in front of you and you never see it. It can be hidden from you. The Bible talks about joy and it always connects it to the kingdom of God. Jesus began his earthly ministry not telling people who is right and wrong. He said to everybody, repent. Change your heart, change your ways, and enter into the kingdom. It was his first message. Most people don't realize that Jesus talked about the kingdom of God, another way to live, more than he talked about anything else. That even then we're in the kingdom of either America or in Ethiopia or of this political agenda or this people group. It's like, no, there's a kingdom that's far above all of that. It's the kingdom of God, and it takes a little bit of everybody in. And he declared in Matthew 4:17 that there's a kingdom to be a part of. In Romans 14:7, it says, look, you know, we're always, there's, you know, what sound bite is the major sound bite of social media and politics this week? He said, no, look, the kingdom of God's not of talk in Romans 4:17. It's not of talk. It's not of cultural eating preferences or styles and opinions. No, the kingdom is of love and joy and peace. It characterizes the kingdom. In Galatians 5:8, it says that every person in the kingdom of God, one of their chief characteristics is joy, because it's the fruit of the Spirit. It's the spirit of the kingdom, the way you live life. Hebrews 1:8 says that Jesus himself is anointed with the oil of gladness or joy. That the king of this kingdom, what he's known for is joy. And then even in Luke 10:28, it's really interesting. It's the story of Jesus, and it's going to be a main point here, of Jesus sending people on a mission to go tell other people about the kingdom. And it says all these disciples come back and they're amazed at what God has done. And that scripture in Luke 10:21, Jesus, it says, full of joy, says, Father in heaven, I thank you that you have hidden these things, what, the kingdom joy, from the wise and the learned, and you've given it to people with just a childlike faith. Jesus himself says that if we're not on mission with him, we're not participating in the whole reason we're alive, then we're missing the joy of life. And it can be right in front of us, and yet it can be hidden from our view. Jesus talks about the Great Commission, the last words in the book of Matthew, the gospel, the last words he has when he's still on this earth. He's died. He's risen again. I mean, isn't it all over? I mean, isn't sin defeated? Why doesn't he just not go up to heaven? Why doesn't he just bring all of us? I mean, isn't the job done? And the answer is no. No, the reason you and I live right now and we exist is we're still part of God's plan to heal and to help and to lift up and declare who Jesus is. And so Jesus in the Great Commission, here at the very end of his story on earth, this is the story. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee. Where's Galilee? That's their home. That's going back home. They went to Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw Jesus, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to do what? To obey what they should do but you shouldn't do? No. To obey what you're doing." So God, Jesus doesn't like hypocrisy either. It's like you teach them what you're doing. We all do it by grace. Teaching them to obey. "And behold, I am with you always." In this passage where Jesus said it, it's known as the Great Commission. It's a commissioning. It's the mission for every person who has breath. It's to come and to know Christ and to help his love and his healing be known to others. Now, our family got to share this for 5 weeks. We were in Ethiopia, and in case you don't know where it is, there it is. I promised Miriam a shout-out to Sierra Leone, so right under Senegal a little bit. That's where that is. Of course, Nigeria. Where's Juliet? Happy? Okay, there you are. Going through, in case you're not aware, we were in Ethiopia. And in Ethiopia, it's actually the third oldest Christian nation in all the world, but right now it's about 60% Christian, 40% Muslim. And in different areas, that shading shows you where, like where we were circled there in Deir Dawa, that place is over 70% Muslim. And you'll see to all of the east, it's all Islam. And then you'll see we're at the capital. So we were at the capital, Addis Ababa, and Deir Dawa. And the capital city of Addis is 3.5 million people, and it's also the head of the African Union, which is like the African kind of United Nations. So it's a very influential place, but it's got some big things, you know, in terms of it got some development, but it's also very much more characterized by small one-room homes and a lot of poverty. We spent a week serving in Addis at the adoption transition home that our son Caleb was at before he came home to us. So we spent a week serving in that orphanage, and that was a great blessing. Then after the first week, we flew to Deir Dawa, which you saw on the map. There's about 500,000 people there. It's over 70% Muslim. You'll see the stats on that one handout. And really about 4 to 5% people of the whole city know Christ, are born again. And so that city, I don't know how well you can see it, but it's got a... It's a really interesting mix of Oromo culture, Somali culture. It's only about 100 miles away from Somalia. And just a lot of beautiful people. And then where we are called as a church, in this city of Deir Dawa, on the north tip of it, is this village called Genda Tesfa. And there's about 12,000 people who live there. We started about in 2012. It was a total Muslim village, and it has leprosy. Poverty was about one, at the time there was one working well for 12,000 people. And so we spent our days for 3 weeks, our family spent our days walking these streets and being part of the clinic. And it's also an ancient caravan route, so we got to see some camels who are a lot uglier up close than you realize. They're nasty ugly. But they probably think the same of me, so it's even. But it's like, ooh, what's that guy? But we got to see there, and it's just a dry desert area. Now, we have what we call in our church Project Hope, which stands for the health clinic, the H, and that building right there is solely funded by our church. We pay for all the medical staff, all the medicine, all the equipment, and the building. And it's basically a free service clinic in the middle of a Christian clinic in the middle of an all-Muslim village, which we went to the Muslim leadership and said, we're Christians, we'd like to serve. And they said, please come on in. So we served 3,000 people this past year in a free medical center. It's 1/4 of the whole population of the village. Yeah. So that's some of the clinic and some of the workings in there. And then we do, and I noticed, and our education people, I spelled orphan wrong. That's quite embarrassing. Orphan childcare. Those are kids that are in our program. For $30 a month, we supply them with literal food, clothing, and the ability to go to school, and, of course, free medical treatment in the village. So it's exciting to love on them. There's Pastor Brandon, his sponsor child. They're holding up pictures of Pastor Brandon's family here. The young boy to the right, his name is Ramadan. So obviously he's a Muslim, and that's a Muslim family. The mom there makes $2 a day sifting wheat, and it was a beautiful opportunity to go and visit them. Everybody, we have 58 kids there, and we know them. You know, we go and see them every summer. So it's a beautiful thing God's doing there, getting to lift up a village that's in abject poverty. We have a prayer partnership with our sister church, Living Word Believers International Church. It's a beautiful building, and it's right on the outskirts of this village, right in Dera Dawas. So it's a strategic place. Here are the elders, David, Dawit, Sisai, and then Pastor Missiker. And they're just great, great men who the joy in their faces is the joy they live with all the time. We also do education. We just had all of our teachers, and some are here with us. They gave, and we taught English in Ethiopia to go to college, university. All the curriculum's in English. So it's a big deal to learn English. And the principal of that school, and of course, all Muslim village, so it's a Muslim principal, he said, you don't understand. We talked about this English camp we had. He said, you don't understand. In our country and in our city, we work years to get one English teacher from America to come over. And if they come over, they go to the most expensive private school in the city. But your church brought 5 English teachers to the poorest school in all the city. He was like, yeah, it was so good. He said, I praise God for you. And I'm thinking, someday we'll talk about God. But that's, you know, we'll start there. That's great. I'm glad. Praise the Lord. So it was terrific. And that's one of the pictures of the classrooms. It was just really, really wonderful. And we also want to do microfinance. The other E is for the economy. And we can't take time to go through microfinance, look it online, but really creating jobs for the destitute and giving them the chance to lift themselves out of poverty. And again, the Tesla is a perfect place to be able to do that. So we're looking forward to working on that. So here's a little slideshow with a little bit more of the heart of what I just told you. This is our experience the last 5 weeks.
To hear your name, only. And now's the time for us to rise and carry hope and let love shine and show this world that mercy is alive.
Like this, it's this thing that you don't just see unless you really look for it. That there's treasures of joy. And, you know, obviously there's so many things we could talk about, but I wanted to share a word that I think is not just for people who go to Ethiopia, but it's for all of us. That there really is great joy in the Great Commission. God put you on this earth for a reason. There's a job to finish in loving people and bridging barriers and working to see God's justice come and for his mercy to be shown, as we heard in the song. And that joy, when we tell to go, well, it causes us to do a lot of things we've never done before. So, Caleb, can you tell everybody what you're doing there?
I was eating camel.
You were eating camel. That's right. So we got to eat a camel at a Somali restaurant. Diridao is 40% Somali, 40% Oromo, all Muslim people groups. And so this was in the Somali part of town, and they loved their camel. And so how do you eat camel, Caleb?
You can only eat it with your right hand because they think your left hand is unclean. So if you do it... I don't really know what happens. But
yeah, they don't like it though. They don't like that, right? So let's tell them what you're doing in this video after they see this video, Caleb. Okay. Here we go. Whoa! So what were you doing there?
I was driving a Bajaj.
That was Caleb driving. All right, that was Caleb driving a Bajaj.
I was on gear 4, which is the
fastest. Yeah. You're pretty excited about that. It's So he was, a Bajaj is the way they get around there, and it's kind of like a moped with a carriage on it. And it was great. So Caleb was, for the first time, he was driving. So that was exciting. And then, Caleb, who's this coming up?
That is Fortuna, one of the head ladies that works at the transition home. She was there 6 years ago when I was there.
That's right. So this is back at the orphanage, yeah?
And if you see that bulletin board to the right, there's a picture of us on there.
That's
you,
right.
But you can't see it. I see it, though.
But he sees it. Okay. And who's this?
That is Tutu, my nanny from 6 years ago, and she actually remembered me.
That's right. So she was still at the orphanage, and we got to come back and say thank you to people who probably don't hear a lot of thank yous and love on them. And so it was a pretty awesome trip, right? Amen. Can we say thanks to Caleb for... Thanks, Caleb. There's great joy, and when we take the time to sacrifice and to allow God to fill us. And You know, there are a few things about joy, about going and doing what we've never done, and not necessarily to a foreign place, but sometimes going to the places we always are and just start doing it differently, go in a new way. And I want you to notice that in this passage about the Great Commission, the context is worship. They're in worship is when they hear Jesus say, look, all authority on heaven and earth is mine. It's in worship that we get through some of the small things and even some of what you experienced this morning when you're always thinking about just what the problems are and your limits and the weaknesses of this world. And all of a sudden you worship and you go above that and you begin to know the greatness of God. It's worship that uncovers for us the joy of life. So many times we begin so bogged down, and it's worship that we need to come to. And we're never going to know the joy of a satisfying, fulfilled life in our role of changing the world if we don't learn how to worship, if we don't say yes to that call. And so, Kate, we got to experience that a lot, obviously, as a family during that time. And I asked Kate to come and share her testimony about how worship, God used worship to really bring joy in her life.
Okay. So, as you know, for 5 weeks, my family and I were in Ethiopia. And for 3 of those weeks, we were in Dierdawa. And on Sundays, we went to Living Word Church in Genda Tesfa, led by Pastor Misker. I kind of knew what to expect for worship because my dad had taken videos and pictures on his previous trips and showed them to us. But pretty quickly, I realized that seeing photos or video is so different from actually experiencing it. Because with a photo, you can't capture everything that's going on, and on a video, you can't experience the feelings that go along with what's happening. You can't feel the extent of all of their joy that they're expressing. And that was a big thing for me, their joy. Their joy despite all of the hardships that they have to face every single day being a Christian in a 97% Muslim area. Just through watching all of them worship taught me so much. Even though I couldn't understand any of the words, you just had to look around to see all of the joy that's radiating off of them. And every single Sunday worship, you couldn't feel any of the struggles or their pain, which I have no doubt that they have. But there was only joy. So through this trip, I realized that God wants my life to give joy to people just like I saw on Sundays at the church. On Saturdays, we served with sponsored children, and through a lot of prayer, I decided that I wanted to sponsor a child. I saw when they got together and were provided for how much joy they received from that, and I wanted to give another kid that exact same joy. And also, I didn't want my mission and connection to Ethiopia to end just after a 17-hour plane ride back home, so I want to continue to touch their lives even while I'm still in America. And to sponsor a kid, you have to give $30 a month. That's not a lot, but at the age of 13, I do not have a job, so I can afford to sponsor a kid. But one of my last nights in Ethiopia, I was thinking about my Christmas cookie business, and during those 2 months, I have enough money to a $30 and possibly even enough for a couple months after that. So then I had an idea for what I'm going to start in January, a business called Cupcakes for Kids. I'm going to make a cupcake for the theme of every month and use as much money as needed to sponsor my kid. So through my cupcake business, I'll be able to give a child in Ethiopia the same joy that I saw over the trip through the
All right. So get ready for Cupcakes for Kids. Those children are all sponsored from our Project Hope Kids program, and these are some of the kids in Genda Tesfa who are just hanging around, and this right here was the joy of the worship we were in every week. Wow. Okay, they were happy, but they weren't that happy. Woo! That's from all the coffee we drank over there, and that's hilarious. Okay, we'll show that at a later point at the right speed. But there was so much joy there. And, you know, the stark contrast, you went into a church or showed you the church building that had is just surrounded by poverty and is just a desert. And literally the power would cut out. People just worship whether there's power or not. And knowing within the persecution they experienced too in the area, just beautiful to see their joy, because there really is a joy when you decide that your life is about serving Him. It's about, I know my life has meaning and mission because of Him. And it's so neat as a dad to see my daughter just have a new joy to say, you know what, this is what life's about. I just, you know, I could sit there and worry about, you know, what, you know, my cell phone and my clothes and the this and the that, or I could, like, worry about someone who needs me, who needs God to use me. And there's just a whole, another area of freedom for that. So worship is definitely part of this great commission. And then encouragement. You know, verse 17 of that chapter always startled me. How is Jesus right in front of you and it says, and some doubted? Like, how does that happen? Like, what more do you need? He's right there in front of you. And yet, you know, I was thinking about that, and God told me, he's like, well, Sean, how about all the times you prayed and prayed that I'd answer, and I did. And then a month later, you forgot about it. You're still wondering if I'm alive. What about, like, when I came through and I did answer that prayer for your relationship or for money and those things or for the depression you had and discouragement? And, you know, and for like 3 days I was alive, and now you doubt again. I mean, you know what? It's not that hard to doubt when God shows up in our lives. And that's why we need encouragement. You know, Hebrews chapter 10 tells us not to give up meeting together, but to encourage each other daily. The scriptures in the book of Acts and the New Testament church, they were going back to their homes and sharing time together. They were encouraging each other. Because if we're going to have joy, we're going to have to go back to our Galilees. We're going to have to go back to our homes and not just worship in church, but worship in our homes, and not just wait till we get to church to talk about how we should help people, but talk about them in our homes, because all of us need encouragement. And my wife definitely has just some testimonies about what it was to be encouraged to come to the joy of the mission God called us to.
Well, I think, you know, for us, our journey began long before the summer did and before we got on that airplane. We were encouraged a lot by the people here, our Cornerstone family and other family and friends who supported us and prayed for us, and we thank you very much for that. For those of you who don't know, I am a stay-at-home mom. I've been a stay-at-home mom for almost 19 years, and that can be one of those jobs, and I'm sure a lot of you have been in that place where you feel like you're giving, and not getting back, and you can kind of start to feel a little sorry for yourself sometimes. And I've been in, you know, up and down in that place of feeling unappreciated or like I'm giving so much more than other people. And, you know, when I went to Ethiopia, we went a couple of times to Pastor Missiger's house, and that's him with his family and his beautiful wife, Mimi, and their two children. And she gave like I have never given before. And she was just so generous and humble and sweet and kind. And, you know, it just encouraged me as I'm giving. God wants me to give as an offering to Him. It's He gives me this family to give to and other people as well. Just to see how loving she was in her giving, she always put us first as her guests, and would even wait to eat dinner. She wouldn't even really eat with us. She would kind of sit back and make sure we had plenty and we had seconds, or, you know, if we wanted more, and always just kind of sat back, you know, very humbly and quietly. And it just encouraged me in coming back, being a mom, taking care of my family, taking care of other people, how God wants me to serve and to love. And she was just a great example of that for me.
Amen. Thank you. Obviously, the Great Commission has to do with witnessing. And, you know, sometimes in America, we've kind of, and especially in the suburbs, we've kind of built this idea where we're all about the, like, well, you know, I'm telling people about Jesus and I'll use words as necessary. You know, we kind of hide behind the idea that it's all action. And it is definitely action, but it's also good news that we should actually use our words to tell people about. I think sometimes as kind of American church, we hide behind that I'm just going to serve, but I'm not going to say anything. And, you know, I think we've got to be challenged by that, because Jesus proclaimed the good news. You know, the gospel means good news. It's good news. It's about being saved and rescued. And there's so many times, because of the tensions of our culture and the way people argue and debate, that we never get past the fear of sharing to find the joy of sharing, because the gospel is good news to people. And so we need to remember that if we're really going to experience the joy that is hidden in this world, it's not just action, but it is also our words. There should be action, but there should also be words. We should tell people about the good news of Jesus Christ, about what he's done for us. And so my daughter Melody definitely has that story during this trip.
So this is my girl who I sponsor. Her name's Gumnegar, and she's 5 years old. And I've been sponsoring her for the past couple years. And during this trip was the first time I got to meet her. And I actually had the opportunity to go to her home where, thank you, where I gave her an Amharic Kids Bible. And we got to read through it together. And I explained to her some of the different Bible stories through a translator. And we got to the crucifixion of Jesus, and I explained how Jesus died for her sins, and we prayed together, and she accepted Jesus into her heart. And her family's all Muslim, so yeah. It was really cool. And one of my favorite quotes from a book that my family read while we were in Ethiopia, titled Unfinished, it said, "A penny can block the brightest star in the sky when held close enough to your eye." And it's really easy for me to let little things block my perspective of God's plan for me, and especially in comparison to what I did on this trip and how eternally impactful that was for her, and also how much joy it made me feel in serving someone else instead of only myself. And so, I'm Siganalo, Gete Yabarkachu.
There you go. She's throwing some Amharic your way. It was really such a great joy as she led, and because, I mean, everybody always knows this is a Christian program, and they're open to hearing the gospel, and Melody had asked her, you know, do you know Jesus, your Lord and Savior? And through the interpreter, she was like, I'd like to pray with you to know him. And so they got to pray together. It was really, really wonderful. There's a joy there that you can only know, and I want to encourage you, every person here is meant to share that joy, to be that witness, and to draw people to Jesus. There's no describing the joy it brings you. And finally, you know, Jesus said in the Great Commission, he said, "Behold, I'm with you always." And, you know, as we walk through this life, not everything around us is reminding us that Jesus loves us and cares for us and is the truth, the way, and the life. I mean, there are a lot of times that everything seems to, you know, in our love for people and their different beliefs and their understanding, we can start to be like, well, I don't know. It's like, no. You know, we've got to draw close in prayer to remember he is with us and he is faithful. And prayer is that place where God guides us. When nothing in our circumstances says there's joy to be found, it's prayer, it's being with him that brings us joy. And so Rachel had a testimony of that experience on the trip.
Well, on the trip, there were so many circumstances where we were not expecting what was happening. Like on Sundays, every single Sunday, me, Melody, and Kate ended up teaching children's church, and we were like, "Dad, you did not tell us about this." But every single week, we would just pray and ask God, like, "God, we really don't know what to do. Like, please tell us what to say." Like, and sure enough, every single week, he just continually showed up. And it was amazing hearing all those kids do our moves to, like, Bible verses that we taught them and things like that. And another story in which prayer just really had a great impact on my life during this trip was when we were about the third week, so halfway through, the team came, and we were working with all the sponsored kids. And just seeing them and being there, it made me want to sponsor a kid and be able to provide for someone like that. So I told my dad, I was like, "Hey, Dad, like, I want to sponsor a kid." And he's like, "Okay, pray about it." And I was like, "All right, gotcha." So I prayed about it for like a week, and I was like, "Yes, this is definitely something I'm supposed to do." So I talked to Buski, who was in charge of all the kids in Project Hope, and I told him, I was like, "Hey, can I sponsor a girl?" And he was like, "Yeah, that's fine, totally." So he came back to me a couple of days later and was like, "Hey, I found a 9-year-old girl who you can sponsor." And I was like, I can, but I really feel like God's telling me to sponsor a teenager. Is that possible? And he was like, I will find you a teenager to sponsor. And I was like, awesome, thank you. So a couple of days later, he comes back and he's like, I found you someone to sponsor. And in the purple shirt, her name is Helen. That is my sponsored sister. And so the crazy thing about the story was she had wanted to be sponsored and her little sister was sponsored. And she asked her mom, she's like, Mom, can we please get me a sponsor? And her mom had told her, no, we can't. Like, that's only for the little kids. They're the ones who need it. You don't need one. And so they had never asked Booski to put her on the list to be sponsored. But when I had said I wanted a teenager, he knew Helen. And so he asked her mom, he was like, can we sponsor Helen? I have someone who wants to sponsor her. And she was so joyful and she was so excited. And so having the opportunity to provide for her just brings me so much joy, and it brought her and her family so much joy. So it just goes to show how much of an impact prayer can have. In circumstances.
All right. Thanks, Rach. So we went to her home, and her younger sister was sponsored, but we're leaving her home right there, and that building you see right there at the tall minaret, that's a mosque. So here's a Christian family literally on the same block as the mosque. And the full story of this moment is that when I first got there, the first Tuesday I was there, they have a healing service every Tuesday night, and I spoke it, and God led me to preach a sermon on healing in our homes. And in that sermon, I told the people of that service about how God wants to bring, we sometimes have faith for healing across the nations and across all these divides, but we never have healing, never faith for healing in our own homes. And so one of the things I said is you should go home, get in your house and say, Lord, I'm praying for your glory to be in my home and for your provision and your guidance to lead my children where I'm afraid I cannot. The story goes, she went home that night and prayed that prayer in her probably twice that platform on the side. That's her whole home. She prayed that for her four children. She prayed that night. That was a little bit after Helen had come to her and said, Mom, I'm going into high school. You can't even go to public school if you don't have the fee money, which we do in the Project Hope. She said, you know, can I be sponsored? Her mom said no, as a Christian who thought there are other kids who needed it. And then 3 weeks, 2.5 weeks later, our family walks through the village, and we definitely draw attention when we walk any place in Ethiopia, and walked into her home where she had prayed, God, have glory in my home and provide for my children. And it was Rachel who was the answer to her prayers. That's what God does as we trust in him. The beginning of that passage says, when the disciples went back to Galilee, God sent them back to their homes. I think one of the things we're missing in American church today is we only think of worship in the church setting, and we only think of Bible study encouragement in the church setting, and we only think witnessing in an outreach program, and we only think about praying when the church prays. And yet I think the joy, what's hidden to all of us, is these things belong in our home. And so we're going to take the next 4 weeks to go over this. What does it look like for us to worship in our homes? I'm not a musician. I don't sing. But what does it look like for me to bring worship into my home and encouragement? We're going to talk about those. Because in the end, the greatest joy is being on mission with God. Not against people, but the mission that is for every person of every culture and every nation and every background. And so we want to do that, and we really can't finish this story without saying this, that the joy is always about what brings joy to the Father in heaven. So I want to tell you one more story. This is Ahmed. And Ahmed is, this picture is right outside of our church, right next again to Tesfa. Ahmed is a Muslim that converted to Christ in the village of Genda Tesfa. And so despite all the social pressures and the total dominance of Islam, there's two mosques, no church. When we got there, there were no Christians. He came to Christ. He went to the clinic with his child. And as he saw the love and compassion and heard about the gospel, he invited Christ to be the Lord and ruler of his life. But not only him, because then I met his family, who all converted to Christ. And that girl in the center, you should recognize her from another picture. She's sponsored by Project Hope. When you sponsor a kid there, you're not necessarily sponsoring a Christian. You're sponsoring a kid in that village, and pretty much all of them are Muslim. But through that act of love and kindness, Christ came to them. But then I didn't just meet them. I met the five other families in Genda Tesfa who converted from Islam to Christianity. Five families. Yeah. There's stories of Christ appearing to the guy in right front next to Melody in the yellow t-shirt. Jesus appeared to him in a dream and said, you should go to that church because they know me there. That's what he did. That's how he came to Christ and his wife came to Christ. And there's stories all in there of them coming to Christ. And so if you've ever read my devotional book, Every Day Begins with Jesus, I open it up with a story of going to Genda Tesfa and being surrounded by a bunch of Ethiopian Muslim men who asked, are you the Christians who have come to our village? And the name of the main leader, who's one of the leaders of the village, is Elias. And I see Elias every summer now, and because we work with him to do to better the village. And I saw Elias, and when I saw him this time, he said these words to me. This is a Muslim leader of the community that probably will never come to Christ because of his position socially within the structure of that village, unless Jesus appears to him in the dream. And he said this. He said, before you came, which was talking about our sister church and us together, we were a village of entire Muslims and Oromo people. He said, but since you have come and opened the clinic, there are Christians in our village, and we have learned to love and respect them, and we thank you for bringing them to us. That's what he said. That's not what I said. That's what he said. And so what you have to understand is the salvation history of an entire village is changed because of not us, but the joy of Christ working through us to give to others. I want to encourage you that we really have been called to a summer of faith, not so that we can just go, quote unquote, change the world, but that our worlds can start to change to be more like his. Our homes can start to change more like him. And so we're going to take the next weeks to talk about what it looks like for the joy of the mission of God to be in our homes. So I want to finish this morning with a moment for each of us to hear from the Lord. I'm just going to ask you if in just a reverent way, if you'd stand with me and take a moment to pray with me today. Hey, the Lord's telling me something. We're going to pray, but I promise not going to leave you standing long. But let me, the Lord told me to put this up. And where is it? Hey, can you get that back up for me, Russ? There we go. Thank you. I just felt like I needed to share this for someone here. The kid in the middle there is Weldu. He's one of the orphans. He's got a parents coming to get him. And when we went to the transition home the first day, they speak a little bit of English. And at the end of the first day, I said, hey, I'll see you tomorrow. And he didn't understand me. I said, you know, tomorrow. And, you know, we kind of worked on it. And he didn't know that word. And one of the dynamics of his life is people only come to that place to pick up their kid. So people don't just come to be with anybody else who's there. So Weldu, that first day, was not in the frame that tomorrow I would see him, because that's not usually what happens there. But I told him, I explained him the word, and we talked about it. On Thursday, I was leaving to go, and I knew I had one more day afterwards, and I looked at him, and he said to me, he said, tomorrow? I said, yeah, tomorrow. And I felt like the Lord said in that moment, you know, Sean, there are a lot of people who've forgotten the word tomorrow. Because the way they live in life there aren't tomorrows. There aren't tomorrows when people who love them are going to be there for them. You know, Jesus on the cross with the thief says, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus says, today you get tomorrow. And I just want you to remember, in the middle of reaching people and calling people to faith in Christ, let's never forget that what Jesus does is he teaches people tomorrow. That there's hope. That when you feel like you have no tomorrow, Jesus says, let me teach you the word. Because there is tomorrow for every person who hopes in Christ. And I just felt like today there's someone in this room who needed to hear that. Because you've forgotten how to say tomorrow. You don't remember what that word means anymore. But you need to know, tomorrow Jesus is coming again to you. Tomorrow he'll walk with you. Tomorrow he'll be with you in what's hard. So let's pray. Lord, I pray for each person here who's forgotten the meaning of tomorrow and doesn't see any tomorrow in their lives. Lord, probably the hardest thing is when we feel like everybody around us thinks we'll never change. There's no tomorrow for us. Nobody thinks we've got a tomorrow. But Lord, you do. You're able to change and bless and heal anyone. And Lord, I just ask that as we've shared so much today, we would not miss that there's someone here that you want to teach a word they've forgotten. Tomorrow, there's hope. Lord, we want to say thank you for the way that we've gotten to learn the word tomorrow. Because, Lord, we were sitting and laughing and loving and having friendship with people that in international politics shoot at each other and bomb each other. And yet when we came with the love of Christ, there was a tomorrow of friendship, a tomorrow to help people trapped in poverty, and a tomorrow to help people who have way too much remember what life's all about. There's a tomorrow for every person in this room. Lord, I pray that you would speak to each of us. And Lord, where we've been hurt and where we've been so guarded that we don't even want to hear about your tomorrows, soften our hearts. And Lord, give us even the faith of a mustard seed, just a small little piece of faith that says, Lord, I'm willing to invite you back to my home, to be on mission, to have a meaning of life that I've never had before. I'm going to ask you to take a moment to welcome that tomorrow in your heart, just you and the Lord. I'm going to ask you to commit to in prayer. Say, Lord, would you begin to bring the Great Commission back into my home? Married, single, if you're the only Christian there, God wants to bring the joy of his mission and purpose back to your home. Would you take a moment and let the Lord work that in your heart today? Father in heaven, so many of us are looking for happiness, but you've got joy. You've got the fruit of the eternal spirit, something that won't go away for each of us, and it's been hidden to so many of us, even in our Christianity and even in our participation with church. Lord, call us to your mission. Call us to the joy and the purpose of our lives. That's Lord, sharing your love with others, sharing your good news. Draw us as people in our homes, in our workplaces, our school, and our parenting. Lord, to trust and to serve what life is all about, helping people know your love and your peace. As you're praying this morning, if there's anyone here who would say, Pastor Sean, today I really have heard from Christ, and I want to begin a real relationship with him, not a religious one, not somebody forcing me to do something, but I feel God coming into my heart and calling to me. And I want to know him this morning. I want to make a decision. I don't want to just think about it. I want to make a decision to invite him in. Just as people are praying, if that's you and you want to make that decision this morning, would you just raise a hand and look up at me so I can just agree with you in that prayer this morning? Is there anyone who needs to make that decision and begin a new joy in their life that they've never known before? Lord, we thank you and we pray that the decisions we've made of our heart today would be brought home with us, and you would begin to speak to us and tell us and help us notice things we've never noticed before about your love and your purpose in our life. Lord, we do all this both praying the prayer you taught us in the Lord's Prayer and also the prayer you told us all to pray about the harvest as we join now together to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Lord of the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. We ask to send us workers into your harvest field and cause us to go also and give you glory. God bless you as you go today. May you live with his joy in your hearts and in the purpose of each day you live.